So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Rabbi Hilton Singer for today's discussion on who is the Messiah.
A few weeks ago, as I'm sure many of you know, in the state of Louisiana, New Orleans, the Southern Baptist movement, which is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, had a convention. And at this large meeting, there were a number of resolutions that were passed. That institutions of decadent morality, Disney, boycotted. And it made a few papers, you know, some reporters covered it. But that resolution on Friday encouraging its more than 15 million American members to target and evangelize the Jewish people to Christianity was one that made the front pages of every newspaper throughout this nation. The response was shock. But very few were surprised. The Southern Baptists have been targeting and evangelizing and supporting Jewish evangelism for a very, very long time. And it makes sense. In 1980, the Reverend Bailey Smith stood up in front of this convention and he pronounced a very interesting thing. He said, God does not hear the prayer of a Jew. I didn't notice a footnote where which verse that is in the Bible. But that wasn't enough because he saw the pain of the Jewish people when he had said those words. He knew the hurt that he had caused. So, in 1987, he stands up again. Same convention. He repeated again. He said, God does not hear the prayer of a Jew. And they was like a Buchanan convention, gave him a standing ovation. So naturally, if Judaism is a defective religion, so you have to convert them to one that is not. Many people said, look, it's the Bible, John 14:6. I am the way, truth, like no one can come to the Father except by me. So a Jew, if you don't believe in Jesus, Mark 16:16 applies. If you believe it, then you're baptized, you're saved, and if you believe it not, you're damned. Thessalonians 1:8 describes the eternal lake of fire that will consume everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus as their Christ. So they're very firm. Not their fault. They were just being obedient to the Word. Capital W. But you know, the New Testament also says that you should give all your belongings away to the poor. It says that too. You know that? Remember the story? In Mark chapter 10, when the rich man comes to Jesus and says, well, good master, what can I do to achieve eternal life? And Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There's no one good but one, and that is God. He was at least a monotheist. Primitive Christianity didn't know of a Trinity yet. We have to wait a few centuries for that. That's why the earliest church fathers didn't get that nice title in front of their name, saint. You don't say Saint Origen because he didn't believe in the Trinity. the Orthodox Trinity, he believed that Jesus was subordinate to the Father. So did Tertullian, and he invented the word Trinity. He didn't get saint either. You have to wait for our good friends of the Jews, Saint Augustine. Oh, good friends. Chris is done with a big gold tongue. Oh, he's a good friend of ours. It's a pleasure. They get saints, Saint Jerome. They believe in Orthodox modern Christianity in terms of the concept of homoousia, of the same substance, the Father and the Son. And John 14:28, Jesus says the Father is greater than them. They don't want to hear about that. Jewish evangelism? Oh, I'll listen to Matthew 10:5. I like what Romans 1:16 says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But I don't see what happens next. Jesus says to him, keep the commandments. That's what he says to this rich man. The rich man says, but all these commandments I kept since I was a boy. By the way, in Christian theology, Jesus should have said what? He should have said, that's impossible, no one can do that. But Mark 10 is not interested in that right now. He wants to get to the end. So let it slide. Very often the New Testament shoots itself in the foot. Because it has a goal, and it ignores everything else to get to that goal. He said, I kept all the commandments. Jesus should have said, no one can keep the commandments. Right? Paul says it in Romans 3. He misquotes Psalm 14. No one guards the gospel, no one, no, not one. But it begins with the fool says in his heart. He's not talking about everyone. And then Jesus says to him, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Right? And the man was sullen when he heard that. He was depressed. He had a long face. His face, he's turned downward. And he said, oh, I have a mess. He walked away. He couldn't do it. So the Southern Baptists should be giving away all your money. If you're so frum, if you're so religious, if you're so committed to fulfill the Bible, fill it all. It says that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. Give away your riches. Sell your homes in Arlington. And live in a hut. Go find someone who just bought a refrigerator, and when he throws out the box, get it. And that's your living room. That I don't want to do. I just like the good stuff. Get the Jews. That's the one I want. Let's go. We're going shopping in Kroger's, whatever you got here, right? We'll pick this one I like. Got Jews. Get them good. We'll standing ovation. We'll take that one. We'll give it away. No, I like it. Let's pick and choose. They don't get it, do they? They don't get it, do they? How many nations rose up against the Jewish people in the past? In every generation they stood. And they said, we're going to get you, Jews. Not kill you. We're going to convert you. The Syrians did it. The Assyrians did it. The Greeks did it. In every generation the promise went out. The covenant that God made to Abraham, you're an eternal nation. Yes, many of you will be lost, but there will be a righteous remnant that will not. Don't they know the promise of Genesis 12? That God will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you? That's the Bible, you know. That's from the top five, you know. That's from the big ones. From the big books, you know, that's the big stuff. Now, listen. And they all failed. Oh, in every generation, each nation would rise up holding their banner high. Loftily in the air. And the Jew was there. We saw them all, we beat them all, and here we are today, just as the Bible promises. And every one of them thought, well, the reason the others failed is because they had something false, but we have the truth. Have the truth. The gun. Today, if you want to find out about what it was like of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he had a palace that would have hanging gardens, the wonder of the world. But if you want to see the hanging gardens, you know what you have to do. You have to go to a hardware store. You got to buy a big shovel. Then you go get Iraqi Airlines to get a nice ticket. You go in the middle, then you dig, and you find a little crumb. And you say, this is Nebuchadnezzar, just as Jeremiah promised it. Then God. But they were once mighty and big. They were the biggest denomination at one time. But they're gone now because they have no covenant. They just found in Israel, you'll see it in Biblical Archaeology Review, the Edomites, big knuckers they were. The children of Esau. They're big. They were so powerful. Jacob was one little kachkala. He was a... And now they're digging up. They just found an Israel there. They dug and they found little pebbles. They are little broken dish. This is the big Edomite. We saw them all. We beat them all with the help of the Almighty. But they say they love us. You know that. I always said something. If you want to know what someone thinks about you, what they really think about you, look at what they're willing to believe about you. I want to say that again. If you want to know what someone really thinks about you, look at what they're willing to believe about you. I need to explain that. If I would say to someone, do you know that every Sunday night in Dallas, 1,000 Irishmen, Murphys and O'Connors, they get together secretly, and they take a cross, they throw it on the floor, and they spit on it. They do that every week. If I would tell that to any one of you, what would you say? That's ridiculous. I don't believe that. If I would tell Southern Baptists that Irishmen get together and have this every, no one knows, they'll say, I just can't believe that. If I would tell these Southern Baptists that every Sunday morning in Brooklyn, 1,000 Jews, 1,000 rabbis get together, and they take the host, and they stab it, and they spit on it, they believe it. That tells us what they think about us. You see it constantly. You see it in the biblical polemics. When I speak to a fellow and I say to him, you know, in Psalm 22:16, where it says in a King James Bible, for dogs have surrounded me, a company of evildoers have encompassed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. And I say to them, you know something? It doesn't say pierced there. It says like a lion they're at my hands and my feet. So what's the answer? The rabbis changed it. You'll bring up Isaiah 53 with them. They'll say, don't you know that the Jews got together and they removed Isaiah 53 from the Haftorah? I'm sure many of you have heard that. Let us examine this claim. Let's just ponder this for a moment. Let's just consider what they're saying and take it to its complete logical conclusion. Let's ignore how the absurdity of these statements are. And Isaiah 53 isn't the Haftorah. Isaiah 33 isn't either. Isaiah 23 and Isaiah 13 isn't. What's our reason? We had some other religion we're trying to fight? No. What it means is, if you can believe that the Jewish people internationally can conspire to do that, you therefore must believe that the Jews, A, are capable of a national conspiracy, hence the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. You also, and this is the kicker, you've got to believe that the Jews are capable of believing in Jesus but rejecting him anyway. I'm going to say that again. You have to believe that the Jews are capable of believing in Jesus but rejecting him anyway. And only the devil can do that. Only John 8:44 can do that. The seed of the devil, that's what the Jews are. Because the devil believes in God. The devil believes in Jesus, but he denies him anyway. Only the devil can do that. You see, Christians don't have a problem, let's say, people who live in the Amazon jungle, right? Completely divorced from white civilization, from European civilization, from any hearing Jesus, hearing God. They worship cockroaches and totem poles or whatever they worship. So Christians aren't angry. They're not disturbed when they hear that they don't believe in Jesus, because they understand. They never heard, so they don't believe. But if they would hear, they would believe. Right? But the Jew has heard. It's his Bible. But the Jew is capable of knowing the truth and rejecting Jesus anyway. Only Satan can do that. Only Satan's children could embrace such a concept. There are your Jews. There are the Jewish people. Now, there are many different responses to this phenomenon that come upon us in every generation. Many organizations came out very angry. Many rabbis who held all kinds of ecumenical services and so on with Southern Baptists, they were so shocked, so hurt. You can hear it in their words. They felt so betrayed what we were sitting with you, we prayed for you, we did this together, we raised money for Israel. How could you do that to us? Many groups, anti-missionary type groups, that just would come out and just attack it. But there's something that more needs to be done. You know, when I saw this problem years ago in this country, I knew that although this appears as a curse, there can be a blessing here. First of all, the Southern Baptists are not converting Jews more now than before the resolution. They've been doing it all the time. If they had any brains, they would shut up and keep doing what they were doing, and no one would get excited. If Pat Buchanan had any brains, he'd keep his mouth shut. So you would get more than 20% of the Republican electorate in the party. If he wouldn't go saying with the Zulus, whatever he says over there, people would vote for him. He's a bright man. He's very articulate. There are a lot of conservatives that would have voted for him. But they felt it was a wasted vote. It was thrown away because he's made it impossible. So they voted for others. But if he had any brains, he would have shut his mouth. And he wouldn't have had a problem. If these Southern Baptists had brains, they wouldn't pass such a resolution. They'd just keep doing what they're doing. It's a blessing because now a room is filled in Arlington, Texas. People want to know about the Bible. People want to know about Scripture. You know, if I gave a lecture, you know, let's say a lecture called, let's a lecture on the unity of God, some pulpit rabbi somewhere. So how many people would be here? 11. Ah, unity of God, I don't want to hear about that. But when we were at the JCC and I gave a lecture on the Trinity, oh, the Trinity, let's talk, guys. They packed the place. We had nearly 200 people, one of the Jews, who want to hear about the Trinity. Jews love to hear about Christianity. They just want to hear about it from a Christian, right? They don't. They want to hear it from me, the Jews here. They just don't want to hear it from a... But you know what's happening now? What's happening now is that people are reading the Bible for the first time. They're taking down the bar mitzvah presents. Young girls are taking down the bas mitzvah presents, the Bible that sat there, they kept up all the other books they used, and they're taking them down, they're reading them. Oh, Isaiah is so delicious. Oh, it's so holy. A young man called me on the phone, he said he was listening to the lecture on Isaiah 53 and got so excited he was driving down the one-way street the wrong way. These are people are excited. Did you imagine? They could turn on the radio, they don't have to put it in the cassette, and listen to all kinds of things in their heads. They can listen to music and rock and roll. But they're listening to the book of Isaiah, they're hearing the prophecies of Daniel and saying, my gosh, this is real. This is holy. This is the finger of God. And that's what's happening because of the Christians. We can turn this into a blessing, and that's what we're here. We're here to examine these arguments. Use Christianity as a foil. That's what Outreach Judaism is about. We're going to use Christianity as a foil. If they throw down the gauntlet, we're going to use that as a mirror to reflect back the truth and beauty of Judaism. That's what we're going to do. And we will do that until the real Messiah comes. Boy, it's a little crazy, you know, what I do, you know. You know, I mean, what do we care what they say? Imagine, if you will, I don't know what, people of Philip from in the middle of the jungle in Africa would come to the Americans and say, you don't understand your constitution. We'll explain to you what it really means. You say, you're very silly. What do you know about our documents? Right? Imagine if the Chinese would come and say, you don't understand the Magna Carta, you don't understand, we'll tell you and explain what these... You know what I'm saying? We have a tradition straight from Washington, from all the great leaders and the founding fathers of the state. You're not going to tell us what our documents mean. It's our Bible. This is not two religions that are simply arguing a Bible. This is a Jewish book and a nation whose forefathers were Visigoths. Babylonians, Persians, they worshipped their own grandparents. What? They're going to tell the Jew what it means? This is our Bible, in our language, which you can't even read. You're going to tell me what Isaiah means? The absurdity of it. What? Here we are. My time and the work of this organization is basically divided into two parts. One part is counseling Jews, and now many, many Gentiles,
who want to know about God. They're not waiting for the Messiah to say, teach me about God. They're grabbing our shirts now. They'll say, you teach us. It's a great thing. Counseling Jews who tragically have fallen into apostasy, the way so many Jews have in Scripture, when they followed Baal and so on. And lectures. Lecture throughout this nation. Many of the lectures I give actually are on universities, and actually some of them, every year a few of them, are on Christian divinity schools. They ask me to speak. Why? I don't know. They do. Usually, they're at liberal Christian universities. You know? It would be like, I don't know, Duke Divinity School. They like it. I've spoken to many times. This past year, I got a surprise phone call. The Philadelphia College of Bible, Dispensationalist University, those of you not familiar with it, it's one of the most preeminent evangelical universities in the United States. As a matter of fact, one of your boys, Charles Caldwell Ryrie, is your fellows from this time zone, from here in Dallas. He teaches there, and they actually fly him in every week to Philadelphia to teach his classes, and then he comes back to Dallas. Why he comes back here? The weather may be, the hail, I don't know what. He comes back. I have to say that the students were very, very nice. They even canceled classes for the lecture. I actually spoke for 6 hours there. We spoke for it was 2 hours during dinner, and I spoke for an hour and a half as a lecture, and I took questions for something like 2.5-3 hours. Now, the audience had hundreds of students there, and they were very nice and very cordial to me. What I didn't know was happening was, and what made it all that much more exciting was, that Jews for Jesus, and of course our good friends, right? Friends of Israel, well, such good friends, Friends of Israel Gospel Ministries, they came there, they sent their missionaries there, the Chosen People Ministries, that's not their real name, their real name is American Board of Missions to the Jews, the oldest mission to the Jews in the United States. They relatively recently changed the name because American Board of Missions doesn't sound so Jewish, doesn't sound like gefilte fish. Chosen People sounds, you know, like a piece of herring already, that sounds good. The students were very nice, they were very cordial, delightful to talk to speak to, very respectful. I can't say that about the missionaries, though. As a matter of fact, after the lecture was all over, the students all came over to me and apologized for the way the missionaries acted. But it was a very interesting setting, it was a very interesting show, so to speak. And during the question and answer, somebody asked a question. And I thought it was a very good question, and I thought it's one that will help us begin to understand this evening's subject. He asked me about a verse in Genesis 49, verse 10. Now, before we even look at the verse, it requires an enormous introduction. You have to understand that Jacob was a man now living in Egypt at the end of his life, 17 years in Egypt. He's 147 years old. And his life is now coming to a close. Therefore, he calls his sons to him to bless them. Now, we need to understand what that means. It wasn't just saying nice things about them, and actually these blessings weren't really for them as much as it was for their great-grandchildren. To tell them the very character of what each of the tribes would be like. Now, this may sound to you like Jewish predestination, right? But you need to understand that it is not. Let me explain what I mean. Very often in Scripture we find that the Bible tells us what peoples will be like. As an example, you see in the top of your handout, the Bible tells us that Hashem gave, the Almighty gave to Israel Awesome is God in His sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to His people. Blessed be God. It's a very important concept. The Jewish people have a blessing and a special power of strength. It's a very important principle. We say it in our prayers every morning. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Ozer Yisrael Begvura, which means that you gird Israel with strength. Special strength. The Jew. Now, why do Jews need strength? What purpose does this serve? The answer is that we need it. The Jewish people especially need strength. Do you know what it means? Do you know, do you have any idea what it means for a Jew to have lived during the Middle Ages in Europe, even in the best of times, in the golden years of Spain? Do you know what it means for a Jew to live under those conditions when every time the nations would say to you, you're learning your lies and they kill you for what you believe? It used to be during the Middle Ages that a priest would come in and say, next Shabbos, I'm going to speak in your synagogue, and every Jew has to be there, and I'm going to give a conversional speech, and someone wasn't there. The whole family was slaughtered. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what strength you need to stand up against that? Even a Jew today, a mother to watch her children, to see the vulnerability of living in a place like Texas. It's difficult. And has to stand up against the shows and the bombardment and the fishes and all the things. Enormous strength the nation of Israel needs. They have to be strong to stand up against these things. And it's a special blessing to arm the Jewish people so they can survive these things. You know what it meant in 1492 to be expelled from Spain? To go to Portugal, leave everything behind? And then only a few years later in 1496, Portugal throws you out on your head and you go from nation to nation, from pillar to post, always, Ani Mam Ben Munishleim, I believe in the coming of the Messiah, to hold strong. You need blessings for this. You need very special blessings. So we know that Scripture tells us that we need to be a light to the nations, to teach the world that no man can be God. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11, that's what Hashem says, you are my witnesses. The Jews are the witnesses. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. What for? What are we witnessing? What do we say to the world? Oh, before me there is no God, for neither is there one after me. I, he says it again, I, Anoichi, Anoichi, twice to emphasize it. I, that's it, I am the Lord, besides me there is no other Savior. For this reason we hate it. That we're the